Going back into the news, much has been made recently of Twitter's influence in the protests in Iran over the elections. Time magazine called Twitter the medium of the moment. The U.S. State Department over the weekend, you might recall, asked Twitter to put off upgrading their network so in order not to disturb the tweets from Iranian protesters. But have we perhaps been making a bit too much about the role of Twitter? We're going to go now to Nicholas Thompson. He's the senior editor at Wired Magazine, and he has posted on his blog that we should be a little calm before we have a Twittergasm about all of this. Hey, Nicholas, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I want you to listen to this quote from Robert Gates on the Internet and Twitter.
The freedom of communication and the nature of it is a huge strategic asset for the United States.
So between the media and the Department of Defense, are we overstating the role of Twitter here?
We are. Twitter is important. Twitter is interesting. But it's mostly a tool for helping us on the outside understand what's happening. And that's important because it focuses the world's attention on Iran, and that probably affects what the regime does. But it's not the tool that is being used to get all the people in the streets right now.
What is being used to get people on the streets?
Word of mouth, cell phones, text messages, Facebook to a larger extent than Twitter. The problem with Twitter is that Twitter is a totally open network. So if I post on Twitter, anybody can follow me. So there's no restrictions. So if you put if anybody goes up there and, say, post what's called the address or proxy server, which is a way for somebody to evade Internet censors, if you put that on Twitter, it will be seen immediately. So the best thing to do is to not put it on Twitter, to send it either in a private email or to send it over a text message or to call somebody with that information. And it's the same for getting somebody on the street. Now, Twitter is fantastic. Its openness is fantastic for us in the U.S. to follow it, right? I'm on a Twitter site right now by somebody named Persian Kiwi who's got these great, you know, moving posts about what's happening. So it gives all of us a connection to what's happening.
Hang on a minute, Nicholas.
Yeah.
How do we know that Persian Kiwi isn't writing these tweets in Burbank?
Oh, we have no idea. It could easily be in Burbank. In fact, it could be an Iranian Revolutionary Guard in Burbank. We have no idea.
So what does that tell us about perhaps the overstatement of the importance of Twitter?
I think that the problem with what we're saying about Twitter isn't that we're missing that there are fake accounts and that there's fraud and that there's probably deception. I think people kind of know that. I think what we're missing is we're overstating how many people in Iran are using it. We know that lots of people are sort of faking accounts and putting dishonest information up there.
Well, not to mention, how much of this is a class issue? I mean, you know, are we certain that, you know, every single person in Iran somehow has a cell phone or an online account?
Well, that's very interesting, right? So Iran has about 35% of people have computers or have Internet access. So that's, you know, it's the United States is obviously a much higher number, more like 85%. Of those people, they're mostly young people and they're mostly educated people who happen to be supporters of the reform candidates. So, yes, there's a real bias in lots of ways, one of which is that if you just look at the Internet, you'd think that all of Iran supports overthrowing the regime, and that's certainly biased to some respect.
Let's just pause for a moment. Other news that came out today is that both Google and Facebook have launched Farsi language tools. I think they did them just last night. So what does that tell us about the events of the last week and their impact on the online community?
I think that's great, and I think Twitter should do it too. I think that I'm not trying to say that Twitter or other social networking tools have no role. They certainly have an important role. There's certainly something that U.S. Technological enthusiasts can work on, something that they can participate with the protests, something that can certainly help. But they're just not it's not the medium of the moment. It's not impossible to stop these things. They're not the centerpiece of what's going on.
Yeah, you know that one of the occupational hazards of being in the media is prolonged navel gazing. But you can't help but wonder, with the Twitter explosion, if part of it was because people all across the country were going, tweets, the Iranians, they're just like us.
Well, that's very much like it is. You know, we want to feel in a way that we're responsible for it, and that's partly why we're so excited about what's happening with Twitter.
All right. But if there was no Twitter, tell me if you think the protests would be just that large out there?
I don't think they'd be just that large. I think they would be slightly smaller. And I think the biggest effect, if there wasn't Twitter, was that we in the U.S. would have much less information about what's going on, and there'd be much less attention from the rest of the world. And that would have changed the way Ahmadinejad and the rest of the regime acts.
Now, we should also say that this isn't the only protest or political moment where online communication has been important. For instance, Georgia and Russia last summer, I think there was some of that. So to sum up here, what kind of turning point, not to overstate the impact of Twitter, but what kind of turning point do you think this week represents?
I think this is an evolution. I mean, we've seen it in lots of places. We've had, you know, the Philippines and Thailand, where we've had regime change pushed by cell phones. We had major protests in the streets of Moldova 3 months ago,
right.
2 months ago, that were directed in part by Twitter. I think we're seeing more and more of technologically led protests, and that's partly because the people who have technological tools are mostly young students, and they're often the people who lead social unrest.
Okay.
Now, there's one really important point here,
That
is that we tend to think that all of this unrest and all this technological organizing is good. It's not necessarily good. It may well put in regimes we don't like. It just creates churn. In this particular case in Iran, this churn is something everybody in the U.S. does want.
All right. Nicholas, I want to thank you for your time and also for coming up with the phrase Twittergasm.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.